Praise the Lord. My dear friend, Regina Jolliffe, one of my very best friends, wrote and recorded that song, I Have Destiny. And the Lord gave her that song when she was with me on a prayer trip in Grenada. And she wrote it along with a girl that travels with me as my assistant usually. And she recorded that, and it came out, and she launched it at the Nationwide Women's Conference in Grenada, and they sang that over a nation. And it was an amazing thing to see all these thousands of women pick up that song and sing and declare, I have destiny in you. And the CD came out, I think, the week before we left, and she took, I think it was 1,400 CDs and gave them away and sowed them into that nation. And so it's a powerful song, and it keeps popping up everywhere I go. I think that song is stalking me, and I'm okay with it, though. It's powerful, isn't it? So if you want it, it's on iTunes. Her name's Regina Jolliffe. I think if you search I Have Destiny, you can find it. But it is really powerful. I want to just say I appreciate so much your pastor's trust and faith in me. And, you know, people can get up and say really nice, flowery things about you. But when they stand and put their credibility and reputation behind your character and your integrity, that means something. And so that means a lot to me. And I do count your pastors as friends, count this church as dear to my heart. And it's just been an honor to be with you all. And I just want to say I thank you. It's an honor to be trusted with the seed that you sow into this ministry. And even the words that Pastor said, you know, when we did Grenada this year at the end of July, it really shifted everything for this ministry. And it's just, I knew it would change things, but it was sort of like we jumped levels. And since returning, right now I am sitting on an invitation from the government of Grenada to come back next year and hold another event, and they've requested we extend it by one day, and they're going to mandate that all their government officials attend. I said, that's great. How about you pay for it? Hello. And then at the same time, we're also right now sitting on invitations from three other nations that said, we watched and heard about what happened, what you did in Grenada, and we need it desperately. Would you come? And so we literally, you know, the word declares, I'll give you the nations. And so it is, in fact, as if those are being open doors handed to us. And so it's just a matter of when and how. And how many of you know what God calls you to do? He equips you for and he pays for. Amen. And so we're calling that in. I received a prophetic word the night before I left Grenada. And the man literally drove to where I was staying. He and his wife, it was late at night, and came out and literally met him there in the driveway. And he spoke to me and he said, the word of the Lord is that you'll stand at the head of the year and receive your budget for the rest of the year. And it will have to be that way for the places the Lord's walking you into. Hallelujah. And so we're holding on to that as a ministry, our partners and our staff, we're holding on to that. And there's just a lot happening. We've grown out of, you know, where we've been. We're looking at a building right now. And so there's just a lot going on in the earth. If you were here this morning, toward the end of the service, you know, I shared that word the Lord gave me years ago about the tectonic plates of people's lives that are shifting, and where God is hearing a yes, God is doing things swiftly. That would have taken years will happen in a matter of minutes due to the move, the shift of God. Amen. And you know, you can't preach that for 4 years and it not happen to you. It's a funny way of coming back at you. And so we're just believing for that. Amen. Well, did you come expecting tonight? Your pastor has asked me if I got any rest this afternoon. I said, well, a little bit, but my spirit's just so stirred. Rest just didn't seem to be on God's agenda. But that's all right. We're busy about the Father's business. Amen. And but I do ask that you stay locked in with me tonight. I know it's a Sunday night, and it's a fall Sunday night. But I'm going to ask you to be on the edge of your seat in the Spirit. Amen. Do you know what I mean by that? Because there's some things that God wants to do in and through you and in the room and even beyond what's in this room. And if you'll lean in with me by faith, we'll be able to get all of it done and accomplished for the glory of God. Amen. And we'll get to say we were a part of it. And so I'm trusting him for that. I've already seen into some things that God needs to get done through our faith and through our supply that's in this room. But it's going to require our cooperation. So if we come and spectate, it limits what God's able to do. And we don't want to do that. Amen. Thank God you're a part of a well-taught generation and a well-taught church where you know you didn't just come walk into this place just to sit and hear if I had a quick turn of a phrase or a tweetable tweet, but you came in here to participate and be a part of not just a word but a work of heaven. Amen. And you've got an active part in that. I've got the microphone, but you've got faith, and you've got a part. Amen. And you just never know why you're just leaning in and receiving and pulling and adding your faith when that word might just not boomerang back around and just get you what you need right in the moment. Happens all the time. Amen. So can we pray? Father, thank you for the establishing of this house in this county, in this region, in this state, in this place, this position so near the heart of our nation. Oh, God. We are your nation. And Father, as your remnant, our eyes are on you. We look to you to move on our behalf. Spirit of God, hover over the face of the deep. Hover over the darkness. We call for light. Bring forth light. We call for light in dark places. In our nation, separate the light from the darkness, God, in this nation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for establishing not just a church, not just a house here in the state of Indiana, but Father, a well of your presence, a well of the work of your Holy Spirit, a working place where your spiritual habitation can come in and go out and come in and go out. Thank you, Father, for the working, for the drawing. Thank you, Father, for the workings that are spoken in this room that go forth and change things and do what you want them to do. Thank you, Father, for the establishing of a place where your gifts, your voices, your ministry gifts can come and declare a thing and watch it go forth. Thank you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the protection of this place, physically and in the spirit, Father. We thank you for the protection of the work that's established here. We thank you, Lord, for the protection of its growth. We thank you for the protection of its increase, for the protection of its finances, for the protection of its staffing, for the protection of its people and its families. No harm shall come nigh this dwelling place, says the Lord. We declare it so, and we call it forth in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. God, I thank you that angelic host dispatchments have been sent, and so they go and take their place. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for angelic ones that even go to homes and stand guard in the streets. Ah, so hiete ahu so kan. Oh, yes, eh. Thank you, Father, that it's done. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The plot and the strategy of the enemy in this day for those that are part of the remnant and believers is to distract and to confuse and to attempt to delay you, to waylay you, to surprise attack you while you're on your path doing all you know to do, doing what you're called to do. And so the Lord will again and again bring you to places where there is a well, a place of his spirit to get the remnants of that off of you so that you can continue on running your race and doing what you are called to do. Amen. And so if we're not careful, we'll let these things slip away from us. And we'll let what is supernatural become mundane to us. We cannot afford this in this day. What is supernatural can never become mundane. Amen? And so what he does is he brings us to places and times and places to receive supplies of his spirit that get us through. It'll get you through rough places. Those places that you hit and you go, I am doing all I know to do. And he meets you in the room with a supply. I remember right before we did the nationwide conference in Grenada. And people have asked me, what was it like to carry such an assignment? It was the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life. Was there grace? Unbelievable grace. But do you think that the enemy was going to hand over a nation without putting up a stink?
Yes, that's right.
And then he dared come directly after me. I never experienced a mental onslaught like I did approaching that nationwide event. You talk about doing all you know to do. But every day, boom, 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 boom. And I said, God, I'm doing all I know to do. I said it this morning. When hell knows your name, heaven has your back. And I had to go to a meeting and minister in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, I'm just fighting through. And now I got to preach. What's a girl to do, you know? And so I did my part and I preached the word, you know, and I'm pushing through like a good soldier. And most people there probably don't know any different, you know. And I finished up that morning session and I went and had lunch with a friend of mine, and we've been real close for a really long time. And she said, well, Jen, how's it going? I said, good. Well, she knows me too well. You need to have friends in your life that know you pretty well. And she looked at me, and she said, not so, girlfriend. And I said, yeah. And then the floodgates open wide. And I said, I don't know what to say. It's just been crazy. Man, she just got in there with me. She just hugged me. We prayed. She said, you need a supply. I said, big time. And our time was wrapping up, and we had a service that night. Thank God I didn't have to preach because all makeup was long gone. And she said, well, I'm going to go with you tonight. I said, all right. So we got our stuff together. We went to the service that night, and ministering that night was a woman by the name of Pat Harrison. Many of you have heard of Kenneth E. Hagin, and he's, of course, gone on to be with the Lord. This is his daughter. And so she's ministering that night. So I'm there on the front row, you know, like a good soldier, keeping it together. And she's got up to preach, and she opened her text. She started in. She closed her Bible. She said, well, we just can't quite do that just yet. And she went over here on the other side of the room, and these pastors were sitting there, this couple, and she began to minister the word of the Lord to them. It was wonderful. Bless them, help them. And so she finished up with them. She said, all right, well, let's begin. And so she went back up to the pulpit. She stood in front of that Bible. She said, well, I guess not yet. And so she came around that pulpit, and she's standing at the front. And she, next thing I heard, she said, Jen, honey, come here, like a mom. You know, and I'll tell you, it's funny how much you can think in a real short amount of time. In the 2 seconds it took me to stand up from my seat and walk up there, this is what I said to God. So help me. If she gives me a word about this conference that I'm supposed to do, when I'm about to go crazy on the inside, I'm going to punch somebody out. I was in a state. So I walked up there, and I got my heart right real quick. God, whatever you want to say. See, you can think crazy stuff and repent all in like 3 seconds. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready to receive. And I stood up there before that seasoned, powerful woman of God. And she said, the word of the Lord has already come to you concerning what you are about to do. She said, as far as that goes, I have nothing to say to you. I thought, she heard me. God told her. She said, but what I do have for you is a supply for you to do what you are called to do. And she said, and I see this in the strangest way. She said, the Lord told me I'm supposed to hug you. And I didn't know what to do. And she came up, and when she wrapped her arms around me, I mean, I didn't have time to hug her. I was like in a bear hug like this. And when she wrapped her arms around me, I've never felt anything like that in my life. You know, when you see on movies and TV shows, when they take like shock paddles and shock someone and their whole body, that's exactly what that felt like. It was like electricity, volts shot through me so strong, I didn't know if I could handle it. And it just reverberated me from my core, from the inside out. And when she finally let go, I was still shaken. And I had my eyes closed. And the next thing I know, she lunged at me and laid her hands on me. And I was out cold. I don't know if they caught me or not. And when I got up off that floor from receiving my supply in the room, I was in a new place. All of that junk, that assault of the enemy, had just gone away. Church, we're living in a day where we have to be so connected to our places of supply, where you know where you need to go when it's time. And the enemy will try and distract and confuse and delay, And you cannot allow for that to stay that way. It's a setup. He will always try and cut off your supply lines. I mean, that's a strategic attack plan of the enemy. Cut off their supplies. Why? It's easier to defeat someone when they're weak and worn out. So what that tells me is I have got to be expedient about guarding my wells. You say, what is she talking about? I'm talking about how it's going to be for the days ahead. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? So we send dispatchments to guard the wells that have been dug for this day. Churches with supplies. Ministries bearing loads of supplies and direction and next steps. Protect. 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 Hasotele fasha pushta kishte. Asuprashta. Yeah, yes, sir. And so there's some things that need to be washed away. Miss Vicky, can I lay hands on you? Would you come? Masore Baveshe ki adso videshte. And Savannah, I need to lay hands on you right now. And Susan, I need to lay hands on you. Ashukraste. And this lady here, I don't know your name. Yes. Donna, could I minister to you? And you in the black and white? Hallelujah. Usiprashte. Just come quickly. Pasoprashte.
No more. I cut that assignment off tonight. No more. Clear. You go.
Hello, Shiki. Suka lefisha palo vashese. I know your names. The youth pastors. Sukata yese. Can I pray for you? Shiki asutolo vashiste. Aya sukashteki. Stalo vishipandio se. Amanai. Ale sokoshata ramavateste. Suve la papia sekite imbraste kiste. Whew. Supplies of the Spirit are good. Good things. Hanjo kiste. Hallelujah. 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 And that's what they bring. Amen. Good things. Acts chapter 11. Hallelujah. Y'all good with following the Spirit? Yeah. Well, Vicki, you're going to have to come back up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moshekiasusota. Show, you just got up a little too quick, darling. Esoprashte viste. Esomanza. And so you need strength, but this is for wisdom, for what it's gonna take. Nobody knows the road people have to walk but him. Amen. Hallelujah. Strength and wisdom. That's pretty good. That's like power team. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 11. I'm going to say some things that are going to be about even what's just in this room. And I'm going to say these things to open some things up, I believe, for this house and for gifts that are here in the room and specifically for the days ahead. From where I stand and pray in the Spirit, I'm looking into next year. And next year is wonderful and sort of tricky because there are a lot of shifting places in next year. And a lot of people are going to be hand-wringing, going, what are we going to do? And the only ones that are going to stay solid and confident are the ones that are taking their cues by the Spirit. Yes. Heaven's government is establishing its government in the earth. Heaven and its government is establishing the kingdom of God, God's government in the earth. It's establishing it. Thank God, ours has had problems. Everybody's attention is on the earth's government. Heaven's attention is on its government and the establishing of it in the earth. And there is a structure, a strategy, an understanding of what heaven's government is in the earth. And it begins with the fivefold ministry gifts. It's always been this way. It wasn't man's idea. It was heaven's idea. He articulated it by his Spirit through the Apostle Paul, who wrote it in the book of Ephesians. And he said, I give gifts unto men. And he went on to name them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipment, the equipping of the saints. The saints, us, you and I, were not meant to spectate. Everything that the fivefold ministry is about is the equipping and the training and the raising up of you to be you. And I believe that we are living in a day in the church world where the fivefold ministry gifts are finally getting freed up and getting refocused to get about what they're called to do, and that is the equipping of you. And the church, the body of Christ, is coming alive. Because we no longer feel that we have been bound to a lifetime of spectating and merely watching the fivefold ministry operate. That what happens in this room, in churches, in ministries, all around the world too, is not the point. The point is what you came here to get trained and raised up to go do. So the focus of the body of Christ shifts. I love coming to this house because your eyes, your focus are already turned out. You're already looking to your streets and your city and people that are lost and broken. You're already looking out. How can I reach the broken and the fallen and the addicted? But we as the church must understand what the fivefold ministry is about, because this is the establishing of God's government in the earth. And in the days ahead, we're going to need it like never before. As the governments of this world crumble, and fall apart, once again, the world as we know it will look to the church to be who they are. And that is not the time to be scrambling going, what is our leadership again? How does this thing work? It must be in place. We must know who they are, what they do, and we must get in alignment with it. We cannot afford to only acknowledge three of the fivefold ministry gifts anymore. Oh, sweet Jesus. I can't find scripture in the Word for two of the fivefold being regulated to the Old Testament. Just because a group of people got a little crazy calling themselves things doesn't mean we shift God's government. Just because one banker was a thief doesn't mean they all are. And to assume so would be ludicrous. So I believe that God is establishing strongly in these days the fivefold offices that are meant to do the equipping of the saints. And that he's also working to establish an understanding among us of how they operate. So that we are not forcing two of them to call themselves something they're not just because it's more palatable to us. Pastor Shane can fix all this later. But I believe that your Bible says the same as mine. That we have apostles among us, prophets among us, pastors among us, evangelists and teachers among us, and in different ways do they all operate. But if there's going to be a fullness of who you are, it's going to take the fivefold to operate. And if it's going to take the fivefold for you to stand up in the fullness, it's certainly going to take the fullness of the fivefold for the body of Christ as a whole to stand up and operate in the fullness. Why is it that merely at crisis and election times do we suddenly start scrambling for the prophets? And even then, they sort of have to operate in closets. Who are the apostles of the last days? What do they look like? Let them stand up. Let them operate. I know this. I know that the heart of your pastor is a fathering heart. I know this. I know that in prayer, the greatest fruit and life of his ministry is the fathering part of what he does. I know this. I know that he's called to raise up sons. But I know that he raises up sons that know how to father. And that's different altogether. No more will we have in the body of Christ perpetual sons and perpetual daughters. But we'll raise up sons that know how to be fathers. No more stunted one and two term generations of ministry. And then it all falls apart. Not on our watch. I watched Savannah here while I've been here. She already acts like her mama. She acts like her mama when she doesn't know she acts like her mama. I mean, these two would straighten up mother, feed and house all of Madison if they could. Right? Pastor Laura would feed them and love them. Savannah would dress them up and give them a haircut and send them on their way, and they'd be so happy. She can't help but already give out of who she is and what she knows because she's watched her mother do and her mother go. I watched to see where she would go during the women's conference. I just wanted to see. These things can be really telling. And I looked, there she was, right on the front row, just worshiping. I had Pastor Laura on my right, Savannah on my left. If you just stand back, they look like the same thing. They're doing the same. It's like choreography. But that means something to me. What it tells me is that she has internalized what she's watched all her life. It's pretty powerful. I think there's a lot for us to learn and see in these days about the fivefold ministry. I think there's a lot for us to see about what apostles bring. I think there's a lot for us to know about what prophets do. I know that when a prophet comes to town, the town listens to see what they would say. I know that the economy of that town listens for a sound. Because if it hears a sound that the prophet brings, it knows that that's how it will progress and that's how it will play out. That might sound strange to you, but I've watched it happen. I know that's what they do. If we're moving into a time where the analysts don't know what to do and financiers don't know what to do and people that have gone to college for these things don't know what to do, pretty soon we're going to get a clue. God's government probably knows what to do, because they're taking their cues from heaven. And they bring stuff when they come in the room. When I was writing my book, I was sitting at my kitchen table late one night, which is pretty much how I wrote the whole book. And I would come home from being off the road because I was working with the deadline. And I would put on a pot of coffee and sit down at that table with my journal and my Bible and my notes and my laptop and say, "All right, Holy Ghost, let's write some stuff I don't even know." And I remember probably the most clearly this one night when the Holy Ghost began to download some things to me about the fivefold ministry. And I really could only bring a portion of that into that book for its purpose. But one of the things that the Lord showed me that we included in that book was that the fivefold ministry, God said he gave gifts unto men. A pastor is not a person. It's a gift. A pastor is not a title. It's not a position. It's a gift. Isn't that what he said? He gave gifts unto men. A prophet is not a person. It's a gift. But it's a gift that that person holds. And thus begins the training up and the raising up and the equipping of how that person is going to operate in that gift. So it makes it very easy for me to recognize and honor and respect and accept the gift in a person, no matter how they treat me or what they do, because the gift is not the person. But I understand that God has given specific equipment to these giftings. Pastors don't have prophets' equipment. Prophets so don't have pastors' equipment. Evangelists, I mean, they've got some power tools. Whoa. Comes with the office. I believe in the next years ahead, we're going to begin to see on display the equipment that these offices bring, because it will be of necessity that we have them. Did you find Acts chapter 11 yet? I want you to look at this here. Let me have you look over to 12. Let's start here. Acts 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. How many of you know that was demon inspired? Verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers. Why? To keep him. One guy? Really? One guy. The king of all the enemies he could attack, he attacks the church. And then after he attacks the church, he goes after the fivefold ministry gift, Peter, and assigns four quadrant of soldiers. What does he do this for? To keep him. Why does it take so much to keep one man? It's not about the man. It's about the gift in the man. And somehow Herod got a glimpse of the equipment that comes with the gift and what that equipment can do. And it has got him on edge. He plans on controlling that kingdom, and that one gift in that one man with that equipment is threatening his control. I say the fivefold ministry gifts are pretty powerful. It was a threatening government to him. Sometimes the enemy is more aware of God's government than the church, but not anymore. We're waking up. To keep him, intending that after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but, everybody say but, but prayer was made without ceasing from the church unto God for him. So when the enemy came to shut down God's government, the church began to pray for him. The church is in divine direct alignment with the fivefold ministry gift. And when the enemy tries to shut it down, the church goes to work. The church is still the greatest force of any nation. But it is only able to operate in that force to the degree that it realizes it is. The first 7 years I spent in Grenada, I've ministered there for 17 years. 17 years of ministry before we moved into a place to do a nationwide event. The first 7 years I spent going to the churches in that island, waking it up, saying, you're the strongest force in this nation if you'll stand up and recognize who you are. Do you know what I saw in those churches? Why those churches had no power and they were sitting down? They did not honor or even acknowledge their pastors. The pastors in their culture were subservient to the people's will and wishes. Every service I went to, the pastor would open, and then it was a free-for-all for whoever anybody in the room felt like they wanted to do. Yeah, I thought I was in Crazyville. 7 years I spent articulating God's government to them. You need a leader, church. And your leader is your pastor, and he's different than you. Not better than you, different than you. Because God's calling and gifting and mantle is upon him for you. But God has a structure, he has a government, and he has a place of alignment. It took 7 years to get that through. But do you know we saw it shift? We watched it shift, and the churches there began to pray. Look here at this. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Wasn't the prison enough to keep him? You got iron bars, I would assume, brick walls. He's probably down, I don't know, 3 or 4 floors. Those prisons were horrific in those days. But you still need two guards outside the prison doors? How is it that the enemy knows how powerful this man is? Wow, he must have been some kind of ninja. He was a fivefold ministry gift. He had equipment they could not see with their natural eye. Verse 7. And behold. The word behold means look. And look. The angel of the Lord came upon him. Not to him. Upon him. What do you think that means? I don't know. Ask the Holy Ghost. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on your shoes." So he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast your garment about you and follow me." That garment is significant of a mantle that was given to Peter. It was the thing that Herod was afraid of, and the demonic forces working through Herod was afraid of, that would cause Herod to say, "Get that man, constrict him, throw him in the deepest place in our prison. No, it's not enough. Put four quadrants of soldiers on him. It's still not enough. Put two soldiers outside the doors of his prison. Even though he doesn't have the keys, you have the keys." Why? Because of the mantle that is upon him and the power that it brings. And we've resigned ministry gifts to get up and tell stories and do it in 30 minutes and serve coffee and make it all nice and polite. But this is the government of God that we're talking about. And supernatural equipment that they hold. If I just want to go hear a good story, I can go to a movie or pick up a book. But I need to know about the equipment that they hold and the power that they bring and what they know that eradicates darkness and changes things. That thing that equips me. That's what I need. That's why you cannot afford to downgrade your pastors to be your friends. You have friends. You don't need two more friends. You've only got one pastor, and it's them. I have pastors. I've known them for years. I count them as dear to me. But I need them to be my pastors to me. So I treat them that way. Because of this supernatural equipping that they bring. I have people in my life that are prophetic voices to me. I refuse to get offended with them because I need what they bring. I watch and I listen to your pastors about the ministers that they've brought to you. Some powerful equipping has gone on in this room. Wow. Here they all come traipsing in to Madison, Indiana. What's the deal with you guys? I say it's strategic ground. I say it's a pivotal place. I heard the Spirit of God say today that He's giving people and places and things to you apostolically because of what you're called to do. That He'll bring things to you and put them in your hands. And you think, what are we going to do with this? And it's because of what's ahead. Amen. Verse 9, and he went out and he followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second, they came unto the iron gate that led into the city, which opened to Peter of its own accord. That's exactly why Herod was so afraid of him. It was as if somehow he knew he owns this city. How do you fight a man where angels get him out of prison and gates open to him of their own volition? How do you fight a man like that? It's God's government in the earth. Amen. They came unto the iron gate that led into the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out, and they passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And all the ministry gifts in the room laughed. I'm telling you, there is a duplicity of freedom that God is breathing upon the body of Christ. And it's a freedom upon the body, and it's a freedom upon the ministry gifts. And the ministry gifts feel a release of freedom from the body of Christ saying, we're not talking about you, we're praying for you.